Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, June 16th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, ChickenWhisperer.com. That's ChickenWhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, and of course, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us right now in the live chicken chat room. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes the chat room automatically opens up. Just scroll down a little bit on your screen and you'll see the chat room. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you could come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, preparedness, urban farming, urban gardening, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro.
Menapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Menapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Menapro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Menapro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Menapro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies
including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time. It is now time. Highlight of everybody's day. Bring on my co-host, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisperer. Yeah, boy, this is quite a day here today. Now you're down in your new home. You're getting sleep, and you're taking the moving truck back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're gonna we're waiting for Dr. McCrae to give us a call, and we're gonna go to her very, very soon. Talk to her this morning, and she is heading to the Big Chicken Festival there in Delmarva. And we're going to bring her on very quickly, and we'll have her on as long as her cell phone battery lasts, and then we'll probably have just a little bit of announcement, and then we will wrap up the show, because I do have to get this U-Haul back. If it's late, they charge it for another day, even if it's a minute late. You know how stickler they can be. So we've got that going on. Let me get over here to the switchboard and see if we've got her calling in here.
Well, there's a 504. That's me.
Hey, is this you, Bridget? I don't see. Let me actually give her a call on the, I'll give her a call. Then she won't have to call in. So I'll call her out on the switchboard here, and we'll see what happens. I know she said her battery was running low, and she said she'd call in. So let me call this number. So good to be able to call out on the switchboard. What a great feature.
That is.
79. Let's see what happens here. Testing 1, 2.
Hi, you've reached Bridget. I can't answer the phone right now. Leave a message and I'll call you back.
Okay.
Well, she'll call us back. Now, yesterday, Kathy Robert from the city council meeting at Chickasaw, Alabama, had called in earlier, but I was going to bring her on the show a little later, and she might be calling in because we never, when it went to later, she wasn't there. So maybe if you see area code 251, that would be her to tell us about what happened at the city council meeting, yay or nay on Chickasaw.
Well, maybe she will call in. That will be absolutely fabulous. Let's see what we got here.
Hi, you've reached Bridget. I can't answer the phone right now.
Okay, we'll just wait on her for a little bit longer. So while we're waiting on Dr. McRae, unless her battery's already gone dead, and then it will be a short show. But let me, yeah, it will. So hey, tomorrow, guess what, Pat? It's another fun Friday. We've got a lot
another
of prizes
Friday.
To give away. It's going to be a full show, the full hour and a half, and we'll have a lot of prizes to give away, and it's just going to be a real, real, real fun time. But yes, you are right. We left Johns Creek yesterday around 12:45. Good riddance to Johns Creek, and we got down here safe and sound, which is a blessing always with the way people drive in Atlanta. and we unloaded the big U-Haul, and then we just kind of looked around and said, "What now?"
I bet. It's like, my gosh, all that effort to get down there, and then, so of course, Caleb coming soon. You thought you would be there, and instead you brought him in transport when he was born. But that was another little early gift to this whole thing.
We had about 3 weeks left to get a few more things done here at the house, but he had his own agenda. So yeah, exactly, absolutely.
Well, I know the answer to what now. If I were had been you, it would be to take a nap.
There was no nap. There's no time for nap. I can sleep once I'm dead.
Oh, no. I think so much happens in sleep state. You know, I wake up in the morning, I think, oh, boy, only about 13, 14 more hours and I can go back to bed. I love to sleep. Oh, dear.
Yep, Jen's parents came down with us, so we went out to dinner with them last night and then got back into town. You know what? I went down to her parents' house this morning. I went and fed the goats and then stopped by and told her dad. I said, "You must have been praying for rain last night, because we actually got a very, very nice rain last night here, and it was such a blessing, because, I mean, it's getting to serious. I mean, it's been at serious mode." I heard a neighbor say that, and I said this on the air a little while ago, that it's been, some farms down here haven't got but maybe 2 inches of rain since October. And he said he just can't. He said some locals can't remember this it being this dry and this much of a drought for probably 20 years down here. So it is monumental. But last night, we got one of those really good rains. We had some thunder and lightning to try to clear out the air, which is great. Lightning has a tendency to do that, if you research that. And then we must have had probably a good, I would say, 2 hours of just good torrential heavy rainfall. I mean, it was wonderful. We really, really needed it. And they're forecasting just spotty storms over the next few days and showers. So hopefully we'll get a little more. I'm not a big fan of storms by any means. But we definitely need the rain down here like nobody's business. So we did get some rain. Jen sitting here, she wanted me to let everybody know that it's happy birthday time. It is Caleb's 2-week birthday today. He's 2 weeks old. Happy birthday. She was nudging me saying, "Hey, it's his birthday." So I want to let everybody know that. Let me get over here to the chat room and greet everybody. How are you doing, folks? And got lots of folks in there. As it's starting to fill up, a lot of guests, if you'll take a moment to click on that register button there at the bottom of the chat room screen, and you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name like the rest of us in there, and come on in and join us, and so we can get to know you. There's been a lot of really good friends that have been made in the chicken chat room, so we want to say howdy to all the folks there. And Tater Farm says, "Hey, Jen, happy birthday, Caleb. How cool is that?" Okay, I'm going to get over here to my email. I've got some chickens in the news. I have not posted this yet on the Facebook page, but let me get down here. Okay, here we go. I think somehow I subscribe to the bad parenting forum, because I get a lot of all kinds of different things, and I post it.
There's
and
a forum on bad parenting?
I post a lot of things that at least in my opinion would deem bad parenting, and then people it's entertaining on my personal page. You just got to visit there sometime too. But here we go. These parents must be very proud of their son. Amadela boy, a boy 12 years old. 12-year-old boy has been accused of killing 11 chickens with a shovel. And yes, I will post this on my Facebook page. Parents must be so proud. This is by Peter Hegarty, staff writer. Two cousins, and actually there's a lot of news articles on this. I've got about 6 or 7. And so as the news story progresses, I've got the 9-year-old has also been taken into custody. We'll see how new. Yep, here it is. Also a 9-year-old boy has been arrested as well. That was the related story, I think, a day later. So a 12-year-old has been charged, and a 9-year-old has been charged with killing these chickens with a shovel. Two cousins, age 9 and 12, face animal cruelty charges after police say they broke into a community garden at, how do you pronounce that, Jen? Amada? Alameda, maybe? Okay. They broke. Now, what's a 9-year-old breaking into a garden for? 9 and 12-year-old boys broke into a community garden and killed 11 chickens to death with a shovel. Both boys are accused of breaking into the chicken coop at the Growing Youth Project, which helps to teach teenagers about nutrition and healthy living through raising the chickens in a garden. Along with breaking into the coop, sometime between the afternoon hours of June 11th and the next morning, so we're just not really sure when, the boys are suspected of breaking into the garden's tool shed, stealing the shovel, and then killing the chickens. Their names were not disclosed because they are juveniles. Both were released after they were given a notice to appear on animal cruelty charges in juvenile court. It's a lie, just a lie, said Kyle Marner, an aunt of the boys. Yeah, how many times have we heard that? Oh, they're good kids. They would never do anything like that. They're good boys. Yeah, we've heard that about mass murderers too, Pat. So, Marner said the boys were standing at her residence at Almadella Point on the weekend the chickens were killed, but she said the accusations against them stem from a dispute she has with a neighbor who told the police the boys were responsible. A patrol officer arrested the older boy, who lives in Oakland, on the 13th, after witnesses allegedly identified him. He said, "I didn't do it." He said, "I didn't do anything." G said the boy admitted involvement and claimed other kids encouraged him to break into the coop. The younger boy was arrested the next day, the 9-year-old, at his Hayward residence after witnesses allegedly identified him through a photo lineup. Police say they believe the two boys were the only ones involved in the break-in. The community garden is run under the, a group which provides housing and other services to people who are disabled or who were once homeless. And there you have it. I'll post this on the Facebook page here probably after the show. But again, boys 12 years old and 9-year-old accused of killing chickens with a shovel. So I will definitely post that here in a little while. I'm going to go ahead and give Bridget a call. Her battery may have already gone dead, so give me one second here. I'm just going to try to call her offline here. Hang on.
Yeah, but you got to wonder about these kind of cases because they come up all the time, it seems. And is it the boy's fault? He's only 9 years old, or is it our culture's fault for all the violence on TV and the role models that we have? I mean, it seems like there's so much in our culture that is unkind and unfeeling. So maybe we could start with some empathy classes in schools or just about respecting all life, whatever the life is. But that's really a sad thing. As a parent, I mean, some people, of course, on the other hand, think, oh, well, chickens, they're only a chicken. What's the big deal? But after you've had chickens for all, you know, they do get personalities. They do deserve our mm-hmm. respect, no matter if they're meant for meat or for eggs or for bats. Good.
Yep, lots of comments in the chat room. I wonder where their parents are. And then they need some parenting classes. I think the parents need to be involved in these boys' lives. You never know. I wanted to share that with you. I'll post it a little bit later because, you know, parents need to be held accountable. They need to teach their children ethics and morals and everything else. This has absolutely nothing to do with the chicken, but we do have, I do post a lot of interesting and controversial posts on my personal Facebook page. I do walk that fine line, posting more chicken-related things on my personal page, but talking about ethics and morals. Last night, it was late, so we haven't had a lot of comments on it. Pat, this is crazy. I posted an article where there's a class called Little Spinners, and it's basically an organized class to teach kids as little as 3 years old pole dancing. So I posted.
No way.
I promise you, I posted it on my personal Facebook page, and it goes to the website. It's not in America. It's over in the UK, and it's a UK newspaper and a news outlet. I get some news from that one on every occasion. But it's got pictures on there of the. I'm going to show Jen. She's actually sitting here right next to me. If you go to the link, the news link from Mail Online, which is a newscast over there in the UK, and so you've got pictures of little girls, 3 years old, doing actually pole dancing, toddlers, and they're trying to justify it, teaching them. And Jen's just sitting here shaking her head. So yeah, where is that? It's just absolutely crazy. It's absolutely just sad.
Well, you see, again, it's what we value as a culture. I mean,
I don't know if that's the case, because these kids aren't enrolling themselves in a class and paying for it. It's the parents that are given the fee. They're signing up their kids, and then they're taking the kids to the class. They're 3 and 5 years old. So, I mean, I don't know if parents are, if that includes in your justification of culture. But, you know, these kids aren't getting online at 3 and saying, ooh, I want to take this pole dancing class, Mommy. At that point, Mommy's signing them up. Mommy's paying for it. Mommy's buying them the trashy clothes to wear. And Mommy's driving them over to the class and sitting there and watching them do pole dancing at 3 and 5 years old. I don't know what culture has to do with that other than Mommy and Daddy at that age. It's pretty
interesting comment. You know, whatever happened to just being a little ballerina?
Yeah,
just a little tutu on your toes. But
absolutely horrifying. And so, yeah, actually, I wouldn't post that on my professional Chicken Whisperer page. It's not needed there. It's not warranted there. But since we were talking about that, I post some things on my personal page, obviously, that doesn't need to be put on my professional page. But while we were dealing with that, so lots of comments in the chat room regarding that. So, okay, let me get over here to the switchboard and see. Her battery may just have gone dead. So we may not be able to bring on Dr. McCray today. But I have some other news, Pat. This is pretty interesting news. I also posted this on my Facebook page at Chicken Whisperer. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Okay, and this special announcement, and a lot of people are kind of a little excited about this, believe it or not. I put in special announcement. It has been brought to our attention that the Bard Rock Bantam Chicken Whisperer Collector card has a misprint.
Uh-oh.
Yes, yep, it has a misprint.
Happens all the time. Not to worry.
Yep. The description on the back of the card describes the Rhode Island Red. Now, we have made the appropriate changes, but if you have already received a Chicken Whisperer Collector card deck in the mail, you now have a special rare collector card. Because later this afternoon, I will post, when I get the information, I will post how many decks actually have shipped with that error. So if you happen to have already received your deck, more than likely, if you've received your Chicken Whisperer collector cards in the mail by now, or maybe you're going to get them in the next couple of days, then you probably have this misprint card. So what we're going to do is we were going to fix the problem, obviously. We've already made arrangements. Those of you who have received, because we know who you are because we've shipped them out, those of you who have received the decks with the misprint, you again will receive the corrected card to go with your deck for free. So you will, once we get them back from the printers, the corrected card with the right information, you will get that. As soon as we have them, we will mail them to you, obviously no charge at all. But you will be one of the few, one of the rare, that has the misprinted card. This happens. The U.S. Mint sometimes double stamps coins. Sometimes they stamp coins a little crooked or a little offset. And those coins become very, very valuable over time because a lot get into circulation before they catch it, or sometimes they may allow it to get into circulation to create that excitement of rarity. So kind of the same thing here. I'll post a number a little later today when I have it of how many people have received this specific card, which is a misprint. keep it in the deck, save it, because it may be. I can just see people going to the Ohio National and going to Crossroads asking folks, hey, did you get the misprint card? I have the misprint card. Ha ha. I was one of the first ones to order. I was one of the first ones to get it. Hey, that's another early bird special there for you. So sometimes when you sign into the chat room early and on time, you'll get an early bird secret password, and you have a chance to win a prize. So this way, everybody who ordered the cards early until we caught the mistake you maybe have a bonus there. You might have a super rare collector card.
if that were the case, all my books would absolutely be fabulously rare.
Yep.
There's not one of them that goes out that doesn't have some sort of an air that pops up somewhere. They just kind of come up like ants, you know, they just sort of breed. Mm. But that's funny. That's really funny. Hey, there's a really good comment in the chat room, Whisper, that I like to bring up. It's from Terry Nick, and she makes a really good point. She says that pole dancing is good exercise, and it's good training for gymnastics. And surely this program is not about teaching small children exotic dancing or erotic dancing. Then you know. Then I was thinking, well, she's right. I've seen Cirque du Soleil acts where they've got the poles or the they're spinning around on a rope, and it's absolutely marvelous what they can do. And it's not necessarily, you know, the erotic version of it. So I appreciate that comment because it does bring some light and hope to the whole pole dancing thing.
I'm not sure if she's
in that article that they were dressing erotically.
Well, you just go and look at the pictures, and you can determine based on the pictures they have of of the way they're spinning around the pole and doing things. And you can go and look at the pictures. It's on my personal Facebook page. Terry Nick, I think, is a friend over there, and so she can just click on that link and take a look and read the article and take a look at some of the pictures that are posted, and she can make her own judgment there. Okay, Love from Poultry just posted the link in the chat room, Little Spinners Pole Dancing Classes, and you can click on that. It'll take you to the news. It's not a bad site. It's actually a news site over in the UK, so I wouldn't post anything bad for you guys. And then you can take a look at the pictures and see for yourself, based on the pictures and the article, what you take on that. So y'all can comment in the chat room, and everybody has their opinion. They're just like ears. Everybody has one, so there you go. So now you can Love for Poultry's commented on some of the comments already and some of the pictures, but read the article. Don't just judge by the pictures. Read the article, and you can get together of what you think, if you think that's appropriate, not for a 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-old to be doing pole dancing. So I'll leave it at that. So anyway, the chicken.
It says right there they are being instructed in the sleazy art of pole dancing. It didn't say necessarily the gymnastic art, but now those pictures are kind of provocative. The parents pay £5 an hour for their daughters to learn how to. No kid, no boys in there though, huh? Just the daughters. Oh dear. Oh dear.
Yep. There you go. So make your own judgment there. There you have it. Only on Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer. But back to the topic. Yeah, we're stopping at this point. If you have ordered your cards, there may be about a week or two delay. Of course, we always say please allow up to 30 days to receive anything when you order online. Normally it's not that. In fact, these cards got out very quickly. All of the comments there on the Facebook page about the cards are fabulous. They absolutely, and me and Love for Poultry, and Jen and Fritz, Love for Poultry's Christina's husband and her kids, Brighton and Laura, all set, and we thought about, you know, the case. Everybody is really commenting, hey, these the case is absolutely what's selling these items other than the information. They're like, I love this case. It protects the cards. I can put future cards in there. It keeps them from getting dirty. It's one step beyond. They're saying you went the extra mile to make sure these cards are nice. They're good card stock. And the case itself, it really makes them high class. So high quality cards everybody are talking about. So high quality cards, super glossy, good information, unless, you know, they happen to be misprinted. and then great collectibles, and then the case itself. So all the comments have been absolutely all the comments have been wonderful. So thank you very much for the comments in the chat room. And we are already working on the series 2. We hope to continue this in the future, as long as people buy them, and we can make enough to go and do another reprint of these. We're hoping to do twice a year, a spring set and a fall set. So we got Series 1 out and then Series 2. And I'm telling you, to make these even more collectible and even more rare, right now anyway, we printed 2,500 decks. If you think we have 12,000 fans on Facebook and 3,000 on Twitter and thousands of listeners, and you think we only printed 2,500 decks, we have already been contacted by a lady who owns a farm store that wants to resell those, and so we're going to be talking to her. We wanted to sell them first, and we probably will for another 30 days or so, but then we're going to start getting them into the hands of eggcartons.com so they can sell them on their website, maybe some farm stores. We're going to be sending them to Poultry Press. They're going to be selling at the shows. So once these 2,500 decks are sold, first series. Now, again, if they're very popular, the second series, we may run 4,000 decks or 5,000 decks based on demand. But this first series, 2,500 decks, and that is it. And it's done. If you don't get one, you don't get one. And a few of you actually got got that Super Collector misprint card, which may end up being the talk of the town. So we'll have to see. But so anyway, that's my – what kind of chickens in the news do you have, Pat?
Well, what I've got here, it's kind of with a theme here. I glossed over it, but given the pole dancing, it fits really well. It's called the chicken dance. Can you pull it? P-U-L-L-E-T. Can you pull it off?
Oh, that's funny.
And this is from thestatesman.com, and it just came out today. It's by Helen Anders, and she says it's that month again, June Moon Spoon and Chicken Dance. Says we're doing the chicken dance like you wouldn't believe, says Jim Schrobel. He's a tuba player with the New Austin Polka Band, and this band is called upon to perform the poultry polka at weddings, at fairs, and festivals. Apparently people just love it. They're saying that the chicken dance, I'm sure everyone's done the chicken dance, but it's a way to get people on the dance floor, and it's a way to make the bride and groom look really silly. So it takes attention off. I mean, it's hard to be uptight and try to look dignified when you're doing the chicken dance, you know? Because we have some weddings and that's where they want us. That's all they want us to do. They do the chicken dance and then get out, and then they take over because people have loosened up a little bit. He says there are also people that hate it. It can be a polarizing song because you either love it or hate it, this chicken dance. But it's popular because those four steps, they're hard to mess up. And here's the steps. You mime a chicken's beak, opening and closing. You mime the little flaps winging. You know, you put your little fingers mm-hmm. in your armpits and flap your wings a little bit. You waggle your tail around, and then you clap four times. That's the whole dance. So after a couple bars of those repetitive motions, then there's a little musical bridge, of course. And then at that point, people can you know, put their arms and just spin in a circle, join hands, or walk around a circle. There's different ways they can do, but it's sort of like taking this is what they're saying here. It's the chicken dance. It's kind of like taking a tequila shot with lime and with salt and lime. There are so many variations, but you try to get them into a circle that moves both left and right. So anyway. So, you know, I think that's the lighter side there to dancing, and certainly sort of maybe an antidote to pole dancing is just get out, mimic chickens. What's interesting, too, they ask how the chicken dance starts. I mean, Whisper, when you were growing up, did you guys do the chicken dance? Do you remember
that?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's been around a long time. So what they're saying is the tune itself was written in the 1950s by a Swiss accordion player. And this was Werner Thomas, and he called it actually the duck dance. But and some websites say that he had a job at the time. He was just sort of tending ducks and geese, so he wrote a little song about that. But you can't make much money, right? You know, just tending ducks and geese. So he wrote this sort of a legend, and this song has kind of become a tradition. So then in New York, Stanley Mills of the New York Music Publishing House bought the rights to the song in the 70s, and he changed the name to the Little Bird Dance, Dance Little Bird. It was Dance Little Bird, and it had some lyrics written, but it never caught on. I mean, the lyrics just didn't go anywhere, but the dance kept going. The music kept going. And then the bird appears to have turned chicken in the late 1980s during an Oktoberfest in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
The organizers wanted to demonstrate the dance for the costume bird, and according to the obituary for the Tulsa, Oklahoma Oktoberfest founder, who was Joseph Hart, the organizers, they couldn't find the costume, but they did have a chicken costume. So when the chicken dick danced, it became the chicken dance for all times, and that's how it became the chicken dance. So that's no pole dancing. We'll all do chicken dancing here at the Backyard Poultry Chicken Whisperer Talk Show. So how cool is that? I mean,
it's awesome.
It's here.
Love the chicken dance. In fact, I remember watching the chicken dance. You can probably actually get it on YouTube. The Lawrence Welk Show would do the chicken dance, actually.
Uh-huh.
I remember, I don't know if that was Friday nights or Saturday nights. I'd be staying at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and it would be like Lawrence Welk, and then Hee Haw, and then Dukes of Hazzard, and then Dallas, on CBS.
Wow, you remember that?
Yes, I do, absolutely.
I loved all those shows.
I remember staying with my grandma and grandpa. But that's awesome. Yeah, everybody loves the chicken dance. And, of course, it is very popular at Oktoberfest. That is for sure. Two more things in Chickens of the News, since obviously Dr. McRae's battery went dead. We're having fun just sharing news, and people in the chat room are chatting away. So let me continue. First, let me point out that every day Chickens in the News is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. They're up in Polk, Ohio. They have a wonderful facility, and they even have a retail store. So if you're within driving distance, you can go by and check them out. They sponsored our trip in 2010 up to the Ohio National. You can visit them online at MeyerHatchery.com. And I was just notified by our good friend Jess up there at Meyer Hatchery that they are having a tremendous sale right now. Let me read this to you, and you can give them a call. Go get their information at MeyerHatchery.com. They're having 25% off assorted guineas right now. So 25% off assorted guineas. So if you're in the market for some guineas, then here you go, 25% off their assortment. And then maybe even a better deal than that, they have a production pack sale right now. And they call it the production pack sale, where you can get 100 female chicks for $130. That's $1.30 per chick. Now, that is phenomenal. They do have a limited supply, and it's for select hatch dates only. So you'll have to give them a call to get all the details, both with the 25% off assorted guinea sale and the production pack of 100 female chicks for $130. In fact, I may just have to call them today, because now we're down here permanently. We're see what time they're going to be releasing or what hatch dates. We're not quite ready for them yet, but that's not a bad deal. $1.30 for their per bird. You get 100 of them, called the production pack, and you can get all that information at MeyerHatchery.com. And you can search on Facebook. They're on Facebook at Meyer Hatchery, so check them out there, and you'll get updates regarding their specials as well. Again, our good friends over there at Meyer Hatchery. Cool. Okay. Let's see what else we have here in the chat room. I guess I got to turn the scroll off to try to look at some of the comments. It's hard to do 26 things at once. I can do 25 things at once, but once I get up to about 26 things at once, it gets a little difficult for me.
I gave it up. Multitasking just does not work for me anymore. I realize that I can do a bunch of things really badly or one thing really well. So I'm into the really well part.
You are a talented coffee and bagel drinker and eater. I can tell you that right now.
Yes, once a week. And I focus on that. I don't multitask when I'm enjoying that little half a cup of coffee. I just savor it as it goes down. Same thing with the bagel. I did give up the cream cheese on the bagel, though. It was just making me a little too congested. So it's just a pumpernickel bagel and
That's it. That is it. Okay, I've got another thing I hear, Chickens in the News. And, in fact, this is where Dr. McRae is going right now. In fact, I don't think she's there yet, but she is en route. So even though her battery died, she is headed to...
What to do? Yeah.
Here we go. And this comes to us from Meachcomer.com. Meachcomer.com. Thousands, yes, thousands are expected to flock to Chicken Festival. Thousands are expected to flock to Chicken Festival. And that is where Dr. McRae is going right now. This is in Georgetown. More than 20,000 people are expected to flock to Georgetown this weekend for the 62nd annual Delmarva Chicken Festival, a celebration of all things poultry. Pat, how come we're not there?
I don't know. I wasn't invited. How about you?
I wasn't either. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. We are enthusiastically preparing for the return of the Delmarva Chicken Festival to our community, said Jeannie Dukes. Festival chairwoman, we look forward to welcoming thousands of visitors to our beautiful town while focusing on an industry that is an economic force with the Georgetown community and the Delmarva Peninsula. Since 1950, the festival's main attraction has been chicken cooked in a giant fry pan. During the two-day event, more than 3 tons of chicken will be cooked in the 10-foot frying pan.
Dang. There's a picture of that pan, too. It's pretty big.
Yes, there is. I just posted it on my Chicken Whisperer Facebook page, and maybe Love for Poultry can post it in the chat room there as well. But more than 3 tons, more than 6,000 pounds of chicken is going to be cooked in that 10-foot frying pan. Chicken Capers, a competition for children, will be held Saturday and includes the Chicken Scratch, a game whose objective is to separate money from the chicken fed by scratching through a mound of cornmeal, as well as a spoon egg race and an egg toss and a three-legged race. Let's see, Friends of the Georgetown Library is sponsoring the Chicken Festival race, which includes a one-mile walk, a 5K race and run, and an adult and child walk. Headlining this year's musical lineup is the Funsters, a 10-piece local band that plays a wide variety of music ranging from Frank Sinatra to the Beatles. Also performing at the festival is Joe Manone, a jazz musician, Touch of Brass, the Stems, Rick Huddle, the Delmarva Big Band, and a rockabilly tribute band, and Chickens. Chicken Meets the Chief will spotlight local chiefs. Chef, excuse me. There's no I in there. Chicken Meets the Chef will spotlight local chefs.
Chicken Chief.
Who will conduct a two-hour cooking demonstrations, prepared two recipes featuring Delmarva-grown chickens. Now, I'm going to have to be a little controversial here. I wonder how many of those 6 tons of chicken has arsenic in it.
Ooh, you little I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did... That's a good question.
Yes, I wonder how much of that 6 tons of chicken that they're frying in that big fry pan there contain arsenic.
Well, next year this time, though, Whisper, there will not be any arsenic in it, because in about another 21 days, arsenic goes off the market from Pfizer. So we're making progress. Next year, we don't even have to comment or think about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
And assuming it didn't come imported from one of the countries they're still selling it. Yeah.
I just got another Chickens in the News sent to me, and it's being slow to open up. And it came to us from... Okay, here we go. Okay, it's a... I can't watch it right now. It's a video... I'll watch it after the show and then post it on our Facebook page. Worcester wants to give peeps a chance, and so a potential battle over backyards may be brewing in Worcester. Some residents are now asking the city council to weigh in on a growing backyard trend: chicken coops. Residents in support of allowing chickens to be raised appeal to the city council. And then I have to take a look at the video here. Thank you for sending that to me. Okay, it looks like we've got let's see. Okay, let me go ahead and get that off of there. Alrighty, Pat, you've messaged me. You've got some fun because we've only got about 15 minutes, and then we're going to wrap up the show. And I got to start. Tomorrow's going to be so fun. I got to start preparing for Fun Friday this afternoon. How about that? So, Pat, I know you'll come to the table tomorrow for Fun Friday with some chicken trivia questions. I'll come to the table tomorrow with some chicken trivia questions roll with that. So.
Well, what these are, I was saving them for Fun Friday, but since we've got a little bit of time here, a friend sent me these, and they're just definitions of sort of combined words, and I thought they were really, really cute. For example, a cash-tration. Do you know what a cash-tration is, Whisper?
Let me see. I think I do know what a cash, C-A-S-H,
right? You're gonna be close.
Cash-tration.
Yeah.
Cash-tration. Uh-huh. I think that's what happens when your wife comes and takes all the money out of your wallet.
You're close. Castration. Castration is the act of buying a house which renders the subject financially impotent for an indefinite period of time. So you buy a house, you get cash traded, I guess. There's a whole bunch of these. Bernadette. Bernadette. What's Bernadette, you think? This would be a good evening fun game like that. Anyway, what's Bernadette, Whisper? Any idea?
Bernadette. Let's see.
Bernadette.
I think that's probably when I get a third job delivering pizzas to try to lower my debt. I am burning that debt. So Bernadette, that's my guess. How about it? How close am I?
That's an excellent guess. I would give you the prize if this were a trivia question. Bernadette is the act of torching your mortgage. The act of torching a mortgage. Yeah.
Hey, I was just corrected in a nice way that Worcester, which of course, which is the right way to pronounce it. I was told that the people up north call it Wister, W-I-S-T-E-R, or it's pronounced Wister, W-I-S-T-E-R, Wister. But to me, it looks like, I guess you can pronounce it Worcester or Worcester, Worcester. But actually, I guess it's pronounced up there Wister, W-I-S-T-E-R, Wister. So, do what? Yeah, Jen says, those Yankees. You guys up there don't even know how to say Worcester. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. But it's Worcester. So use guys. I love it. I love you all. It's so fun. Y'all can give me a hard time with my southern slang and heck, hey, go ahead and give me a hard time. I just mixed up chef with chief. Reading chickens in the news.
They're pretty close.
They're pretty close, exactly. So okay, so y'all know what I was talking about up there.
You know
in
what
Worcester.
You're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't always know what I'm talking about, but so Worcester.
Covered up really well.
Wester. Whatever. And if all else fails, Pat, I'm just going to blame it on my Bell's palsy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Just,
I actually was
whatever.
Saying, I said it correctly, but since half my face doesn't work, I'm blaming it on the Bell's palsy. So there you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's a good story. You can stick to it.
Now here's one for you. Woodcutter Ron had mentioned, okay, is it, for you, Pat, is it soda, is it pop, or is it tonic? Is it soda? Is it pop? Is it tonic? Or do you just say Coke? Because, you know, wherever you go, Pepsi, Coke, RC, whatever. I'll have a Coke. You know, you go to a restaurant, I'll have a Coke. And, oh, is Pepsi okay? No, it is not. Did I say Pepsi? No, I said Coke. But a lot of people just say Coke. And then, what is it for you? Is it soda?
Well, I got to say, It's none of them. I don't drink any of them.
Got the good old high fructose corn syrup, Dr. Pepper,
yeah,
the Dallas Dave. I will admit, because, you know, I do my best every day not to be a hypocrite, but last night at dinner, me and Jen went to this great place, and we had lemonade. They had the most beautiful and wonderful homemade lemonade there, and we got the last two glasses, and they came out and said, I just wanted to let you know that we're out of lemonade. I'm sorry. Is there another drink you want? And they went down the whole list of drinks, and I didn't want the caffeine and the sweet tea, and I didn't want, you know, the Mountain Dew with all the caffeine in it. So we had Sprite. So I'll tell you right now, we had some Sprite last night after our all-natural, beautiful homemade lemonade. It was a little disappointing, but it's on occasion, you know, we'll have a soda. You'll never find it in our house. You'll never find it in our house. But when we go out to restaurants, it's lemonade. Yeah, Jen says it's exactly right. Unless it's a holiday, and we have a lot of member of our families that drink soda, and they all have their own little special soda that they like, Pat. We have some that like caffeine-free Diet Coke. We have some that just like regular Coke. We have some that are Dr. Pepper fanatics. We have some that like lemonade. We have some. Anything else? The Diet Orange. The Diet Orange soda. So yeah, when we poison our family with high fructose corn syrup during the holidays to make them happy, we'll get it then. So yep, it's a great conversation in the chat room. Some people are talking about pop. Some people call it soda. Some people call it Coke. Being here in Atlanta, I've never been to the Coke Museum, Pat. It just, you know, it's never been a big part of my life, Coca-Cola. So I've never been to the Coke Museum here, but a lot of people have, and they like it. Okay, continue on with the funny little comments, Pat, and you tell me what you think they are, and I'll try to guess.
Okay. Here's one. What do you think an arbitrator is? Arbitrator, A-R-B-I-T-R-A-T-R-R, arbitrator, arbitrator.
There's actually one right down the road here, and he's got a beautiful selection of arbors. He is quite the craftsman. He is quite the craftsman, and he has a whole selection of arbors there at his place. So, I'm sure he would trade them for anything of value. So that's my guess, arbitrator. He trades arbors.
Arbitrator. Well, that's a good one. That's very, very clever. I would give you the prize if you were calling it. But according to the answer I have here, an arbitrator is a cook that leaves Arby's to work at McDonald's. That's an arbitrator.
Is it what now? Go ahead.
It's a cook that leaves Arby's to work at McDonald's.
Oh my.
Arbitrator. I like this one.
Jen's
here's
not listening. Hang on. Jen's not listening. Arbitrator. Arbitrator is a cook that leaves Arby's to work for McDonald's. She's rolling her eyes, Pat.
Well, that's nothing new with my bad jokes here. The random.
She said, wait, what's that, Jen? What's that, Jen? She said she's heard better jokes from her 5-year-old kindergartners.
Kindergartners?
Kindergartners.
They're
yep.
growing kidneys.
Kindergartners. Yeah. I'm blame it on the Bell's palsy. So, okay, what's the next one? What's the next one?
Okay. Well, this one is true for a lot of people in our culture. What is abdicate? Abdicate. A-B-D-I-C-A-T-E. Just ab.
Not advocate. Like, I'm going to advocate, I'm going to, you know, for chicken.
Ab. A-B.
A-B. Abdicate.
Abdicate.
Kate. Spell it for me.
A-B-D-I-C-A-T-E. Abdicate. I'll put it in the chat room.
Decate, there it is, Jen. What is that for? Abdicate.
It's a tough one, really, but it fits when you know it.
Something to do with your abdomen?
Yeah.
Something to do with your abdomen? Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
You just give up any hope of ever having a flat stomach. You abdicate.
any...
Hope
okay.
of ever having your have a six-pack or a flat
any
stomach.
Any hope of having a flat stomach ever.
Ever. Yeah, we advocate that.
I have a six-pack. I have a six-pack. You just can't see it. It's under there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, actually, what I normally tell people is that, you know, they'll comment on somebody having a six-pack, and I'll be like, he ain't got nothing on me. He may have a six-pack, but I have a case.
Yeah. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I used to tell people that... Go ahead.
Yeah, he's got the six-pack, but I got a case.
I used to tell people when I was overweight, saying, well, you know, this is really expensive organic gourmet fat. I mean, I paid a lot.
They're saying in the chat room that I have a six-pack hidden behind my keg. Oh, I love it.
Let me just remind
everybody, if you're just now tuning in, we've got about 5 minutes left. We're going to shut the show off a little early. Got to get the big U-Haul truck back. It's been fun chatting with everybody. And, Pat, we've had some good laughs and some fun. If you're a first-time listener, hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't want you to think that we just get on live air nationwide and sit here and tell jokes and have a lot of fun. But we were hoping our scheduled guest today was our really good friend, poultry scientist Dr. McCray. She comes on the show the first and third Thursdays of every month, and she's got to charge her cell phone. She knew she was going to be on the road heading to the Big Chicken Festival there in Delmarva. Maybe she'll take a look at that big 10-foot frying pan and have some of that chicken with the arsenic in it, but her battery apparently went dead, so she couldn't call in. So me and Pat just started sharing a lot of interesting chickens in the news. We've covered everything today from 3 years old and 5-year-old girls pole dancing, and we posted that news clip. We've covered chicken dancing, yeah, the whole nine yards. So we've had fun. But tomorrow, it'll be Fun Friday. We'll have a whole gamut, a whole list of prizes we're going to give away from our awesome sponsors like we do every Friday. I assure you there'll be some Fun Friday. Is, you know, Monday through Thursday we have special guests, experts in their fields that come on, from gardening to preparedness to urban farming, urban gardening, solar power, wind power, water collection. We've got a wonderful heritage chef that comes on. We've got great organizations, Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, gardening show, the Garden Wise with Arlena. But Friday, we just kind of sit back, relax, tell jokes, have some good fun, and give away some prizes. So that's what we're kind of doing today, just hanging back and chilling out. So
it's a free Friday.
Okay, it says FM, somebody's got a question, and I didn't see it. So, okay, we're waiting on the question. Why do Americans call it the chicken dance when the original song in French is the Danse de Canard, the duck dance? Well, I can probably answer that. Let me answer that, okay? I'll answer that to the best of my knowledge. Why in America do they call it the chicken dance when actually it was originated in France? Well, let me be politically incorrect here for a minute. When we found out that the dance was really originated in France, well, that's how it became the chicken dance, because I think that the only thing they're good at is waving the white flag, surrendering, and being chicken. So I think that's actually where it comes from. To be honest with you, at least that's my... Jen's over here shaking her head, laughing at me. Okay, to all our French listeners over there in France...
Go an apology, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
I love France, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, when you don't let our jets fly over your country, you know, it's – and then I could just go down the whole list, but I'm not. But, yeah, I think that's actually the technical reason why is that when we heard that the song originally originated in France, we thought, well, what a better name. We couldn't find a better name than the chicken – the chicken dance. So that's my 2 cents worth, and I'm sticking to it. Does anybody else out there in
Chicken Land have the real answer?
I have
the real answer. It was in the article about the chicken dance. It's what happened is in the late 1980s during that Oktoberfest in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the organizers wanted to demonstrate a dance with a costumed bird. And apparently they couldn't find a bird costume, but they found a chicken costume. The local TV station had a chicken costume. So the chicken did the dance, and that's when it became the chicken dance for all time in the 1980s at Oktoberfest, Tulsa, Oklahoma. There you go. One of those trivia things you'll never really have a need for. Oh, dear. Whisper, you there?
I'm here. I'm typing something.
Okay. Well, we've got 30 seconds left if we want to end at 1 o'clock.
I had to put down here in the chat room. Apparently, the only thing that I like French are kisses and fries. Oh, me. Kisses, French kisses, and French fries are the bomb. So there you have it. My take on why the chicken dance was called the chicken dance, being that it originated in France and was initially called the duck dance. So
yeah.
There you go.
Christine says those kisses better come from Jen.
But of course.
Or Caleb,
but of course. So absolutely.
Do we?
Yep. And I was going to make a joke, but Rhode Island Ruby's not in the chat room, so I'll just save it for later.
Lucky us.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, well, French toast is good. I do like French toast. I'm sorry about that. FMA Farms was like, poor French toast.
Bread.
No, French toast is good. Yeah, French bread is pretty good. Yeah, French toast, French bread, absolutely. So, no, that's not my take. So if we have any archive listeners over in France, I know we've got a great regular listener that listens from the Netherlands. And we've got...
You're sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let me. Yes, absolutely. Keep listening, folks.
shall we call it a day, Whisper?
Yeah, let's call it a day. That sounds good. And I'll get this truck back to the U-Haul dealer, and I won't be fined another. Hey, you know what? Speaking of crazy things, yesterday. In fact, we stopped. We had a little convoy coming down here. And so we had to make a little restroom break. And so we stopped at a Wendy's to use the restroom. And so we walked in, Jen said, I'm going to get me a water. And I'm like, okay, I think I'll take a lemonade. And so we walked in, her and her mom used the restroom, and I get in there. And Midbird says, don't worry, Andy, the people over in France won't be able to understand your southern drawl anyway. It'll be fine. So we walked in, and they gave Jen this tiny, tiny, tiny little cup of water. And I said, I walked in, and I walked up to the cashier, and I said, let us have a bigger cup of water. We'll pay, the extra, cup fee, 25 cents, 15 cents for a big cup of water. I mean, this cup was tiny. I mean, it was like a tiny little styrofoam coffee cup thing of water. And she has her murky water filter to fill up and whatnot. So so I said, give her some big ice water. She needs a big ice water. Charge us and the lady said that it's a regular soft drink charge for a cup of water. So if Jen, for example, wanted a medium cup of water, she would have had to pay the medium soft drink price of whatever it is, $1.59. If she wanted a large water, she would have to pay the large soft drink price of, what is it, $1.79, $1.89, whatever the case may be. And I said, you're kidding. I said, that plastic cup or that wax paper cup back there, you're justifying cost $1.59, $1.79, $1.89. So I have to pay for a soda if I just want some water and some ice because of the cup fee. And she was like, yeah. And I know she's there trying to make a living to probably buy formula for her baby like we are. Well, we don't do formula, but just, give you an idea. I know it's not her fault. She's there trying to make money to pay her rent. But it was just like, are you kidding me? That right there to me is about communist. I just walked away in disgust. So what I did, Pat, what I did was I walked outside and I got both Jen's murky water filter and her big, she carries it, it's like a tumbler cup. And I brought both of those back in and filled it with ice and then filled it up with water right there. I said, forget you, I don't need your cup. I got my own cup. So I just walked back in and filled them both up with water and ice. And I wasn't mean to the lady because, she's just trying to, make a living, working the register at Wendy's. But I thought that was a little over the top
Her boss probably told her to do that,
I know, exactly. It's not her fault at all. So that's why a lot of times before I go ballistic on somebody with, you know, because a lot of times common sense does not prevail. And so a lot of times, you know, I have to think, you know, okay, this is, you know, at the bank, for example, the teller, banking industry and all those fees and everything else. I'll be like, look, I know it's not your fault. You're trying to make a living. You're just enforcing the rules that some you know, nutcase up there in the upper ranks, you know, is trying to figure out a way to make money. And, you know, so I understand it's not her fault. So no problem. So, yeah, someone said their sister's a store manager for McDonald's. She's been there for over 25 years, and their biggest moneymaker is the soda. Soda and fries.
Oh, yeah.
Those French fries. See, those French fries. There you
go.
We're already talking about the French, so very good. All righty, folks. So y'all have a great day. We're out of here. Tomorrow is, of course, Fun Friday. We'll have a lot of prizes to give away from our awesome sponsors, and we hope you'll tune in right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, head over to MeyerHatchery.com. MeyerHatchery.com. They're running some specials. They've got the Guinea special right now, of course, and then they've got the production pack, 130 female chicks for 100 female chicks for $130. So limited hatch dates and limited supply available. So what a great deal that is. And we appreciate it. Thanks for all the wonderful, wonderful comments about the Chicken Whisperer cards. Have a productive day, and thanks for joining us in the chat. Pat, guess what? You can take it away.
Okay. Well, Andy, thanks to you for bringing us all here to the chat room and the Chicken Whisperer Talk Show. We certainly would not be all together here without you. And, of course, our chat room chickeneers, they're always wonderful for clucking along and bringing insights to so many things. And blogtalkradio.com provides our radio, chat, and the video services. Thank you, Blog Talk. Oh, you poultry pioneers, all of you, French, British, Spanish, wherever you are. We love you all so much. Blessings to all of you, and may the flock be with you. Quoth the chicken evermore. God bless everybody.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Thank you.